This is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. Time now for our Africa update. This week in Zimbabwe, power-sharing talks resume as the nation faces a major humanitarian crisis, plus the latest on the violence in the Democratic Republic of Congo. For more now, we've got Bill Fletcher. He is a senior scholar with the Institute for Policy Studies and former president of Trans-Africa Forum. Bill, always nice to have you.
I'm always pleased to be on the program.
Let me set it up this way. The current political situation in Zimbabwe, it's been nearly 2 months since Robert Mugabe and opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai signed a power-sharing agreement. But over the weekend, a group of world leaders that included former U.S. President Jimmy Carter and former United Nations head Kofi Annan were refused visas into Zimbabwe. The group called the Elders were planning a humanitarian mission there. Now, Mr. Annan and President Carter spoke out about the crisis in Zimbabwe.
Much worse in the sense that it goes beyond the traditional or the normal humanitarian situation where people need food assistance. The water and sanitation system seems to be breaking down. Schools are closing or closed. Hospitals are closing. You have cholera, which is a danger to the region. And so from that point of view, it looks as if Zimbabwe is getting to the brink.
The crisis in Zimbabwe is much greater, much worse than anything that we had ever imagined. And obviously, the absence of a functioning government is the main problem that we face.
Now, before I come to you, Bill, I want to play one more clip. This is from South Africa's ANC leader, Jacob Zuma, who also spoke out on behalf of the elders and said a solution was urgently needed to solve the problems in Zimbabwe.
The elders, as I understood, they are not even coming from a political angle. It's a humanitarian that in any situation is always given a chance, even in a war. Situation. Humanitarian help is always given an opportunity. So it does give an unfortunate picture, I think.
And Bill, they were joined by the wife of Nelson Mandela. What do you think when you hear something like this?
I think that the Mugabe group is so desperately attempting to cling on to power that it is prepared to sink the ship. I don't think that that's their intent. In other words, I don't think that they think that they're taking it down. But they are incredibly desperate, and they're caught. They're really trapped because they know that they have to have some sort of government of national unity. There's just simply, at this point in time, no alternative. They have lost virtually all international support except for some fanatics in different places. This is an absolute act of desperation, and I think restricting the elders from entering into the country and restricting Grisha Machel, I mean the widow of Samora Machel, the wife of Nelson Mandela, I mean, this is just absolutely outrageous.
You know, one of the issues that I'd like you to respond to is this, in terms of Thabo Mbeki, the South African leader, trying to broker these talks, what good are talks when in the past, the talks that have been held, the pact gets broken right afterwards?
The problem, part of the problem as I see it, is that President Mbeki conducted what he believed or described as silent diplomacy. It's completely unclear what the stick was in the diplomacy, though. It was clear that they were silent. In fact, many people didn't know that anything was actually going on. But there did not seem to be any way that Mbeki was holding Mugabe accountable. And on the one hand, it's a tribute to Mbeki that President Mugabe was willing to go as far as he has in terms of recognizing the need for a national unity government. But part of what it would have seemed to me is that there was pressure that President Mbeki, I believe, could have placed on President Mugabe by working up a closer alignment with Zimbabwe's neighbors. And that just didn't seem to be in the cards.
At the same time that there are difficulties taking place there, we have a similar problem, in a sense, now taking place in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where heavy fighting involving rebels, government troops, and pro-government militia continues. The violence has triggered a humanitarian crisis there, forcing an estimated 250,000 people to flee their homes. And we're hearing now that the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, is ready to transfer tens of thousands of people in eastern DRC to safer locations. What is behind this?
What is behind this is that the Rwanda genocide of 1994 was never resolved. And by that I mean this, that after the genocide, when the genocidaires, the government of Rwanda at the time under the Hutu fanatics, was chased out of Rwanda, they retreated into the Eastern Democratic Republic of the Congo, where they based themselves and aligned themselves with then President Mobutu of the Congo, what was then called Zaire. The situation of these genocidaires being based there, never being disarmed, for years being protected by the French, resulted in two wars and has resulted in continuous instability. See, this is a place, this is a situation where I actually do believe that the United States, under President-elect Obama, can play a very, very important role in conjunction with the African Union. And I know from discussion that I had with then-Senator Obama shortly after he was elected that he was very concerned about the situation in the DRC. This is a situation where the United States needs to deploy a special envoy. It needs to make a commitment to work with the government of the Democratic Republic of the Congo in reconstruction. But it needs to work with Rwanda and the DRC on resolving this problem of the genocidaires. Because as long as these Hutu militias remain armed and unchecked in eastern Congo, I would suggest to you that there will remain instability.
Now, I've got about 30 seconds or so for you to answer this as we bring this to a close, and I appreciate your information. It's very valuable. What role are the minerals playing in this, the minerals that are there in that area and that nations like China are trying to get their hands on?
Very quick answer. Incredibly important, because the Congo is one of the wealthiest countries on the planet with regard to natural resources, and various groups, multinational corporations, militia groups, as well as governments, have basically been poaching the DRC in order to gain these resources to enrich themselves.
Bill, thank you very much.
My pleasure as always.
Bill Fletcher is a senior scholar with the Institute for Policy Studies and the former president of Trans-Africa Forum. He is the co-author of Solidarity Divided, The Crisis in Organized Labor and a New Path Toward Social Justice. He joined us from our Washington, D.C. headquarters. Sing it.